Federal law enforcement officials have arrested two ethnic Chinese persons, accusing them of operating a secret police station in Manhattan's Chinatown, accusing them of spying on Chinese dissidents and, in some cases, finding ways to send them home. The U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Breon Peace, calls the illegal operation a violation of national sovereignty.
We cannot and will not tolerate the Chinese government's persecution of pro-democracy activists who have sought refuge in this country.
In all, one human rights organization thinks there are perhaps 100 or so Chinese secret police stations around the world. Joining us now to unpack all this is Matthew Brazil. He's author of the book Chinese Communist Espionage, an Intelligence Primer, and he writes for Spy Talk. Matt, good to have you.
Thanks very much, Scott.
These two Chinese nationals became U.S. citizens. They were arrested in connection with operating an alleged secret police station in New York. What are they accused of doing?
They're accused of setting up a secret station in order to coordinate identifying people that are wanted by the Chinese state and harassing them to return to China for prosecution.
And was there a cover story? I gather they were claiming to offer some services for Chinese nationals in Manhattan?
Yes, the cover story is that these stations are being set up to help people renew their driver licenses in the wake of COVID travel restrictions and being unable to return to China. But what they're really after is some of the people they're seeking are real criminals, people who have embezzled or defrauded people in China. But there's also a great number, and it's difficult to say the percentage, of people who are being pursued for reasons that are not internationally acceptable as crimes, in other words, dissent.
The FBI says this is the first criminal case of its kind, and these two men, if convicted, could face up to 20 years in prison. In your view, how significant is this as far as sending a message to Chinese law enforcement?
It's a good idea to have strict punishment for this sort of thing because, of course, it does violate a very important law against being in the United States and being a representative of a foreign country without notifying the State Department. These stations that are underground, they have innocuous names, and, of course, they're being used to perform functions that are normally performed by a diplomatic post.
There have been charges filed against alleged illegal police stations in Spain, in the Netherlands. The Justice Department uses the word transnational repression. Looking around the world, Matt, what's the broader strategy here?
The overall goal seems to be not only to bring people back to China who are criticizing the country overseas, as well as actual criminals, but also to exert influence locally. These clandestine stations are perhaps more appropriate in their view.
So is the idea to silence or at least create a chilling effect for Chinese nationals in the U.S. and elsewhere to stop them from speaking out?
It is. And the reason for this is the regime has always been overly sensitive about criticism of any sort or any organization that is not under their control. They're very concerned, overly concerned, I think, about people who oppose the regime because basically they want to nip any opposition in the bud because they are ultra afraid of a movement starting that could eventually overthrow the regime.
Now, separately, the Justice Department indicted dozens of police operatives inside China for using social media and the internet to troll dissidents inside the U.S., a troll farm. Here's the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York again, Breon Peace, describing that task force.
This task force isn't a normal police force. It doesn't protect people or combat crimes. It commits crimes, targeting Chinese democracy activists and dissidents located outside of the PRC, including right here in New York City.
Matt, how do these alleged troll farms work, and what are they trying to do?
Well, it seems like a dual-track operation. The stations in the U.S. are there to identify people to be on the ground and figure out who needs to be targeted. But then the troll farms can target people and coordinate the harassment of relatives that are left in China. The Chinese police like to say that somebody who's overseas, the Chinese overseas, is like a kite. They may be flying free up there in the sky, but the string comes back down to the ground in China where we can control it. And the messaging is, you should not be criticizing the party or the state. Look at all the things the party and the state has done for you and could do for you in future. You have a brother or a sister or a child that you want to go to college, or you have parents back in China whose retirement could suddenly be cut off if you don't cooperate and silence yourself, cease criticizing the regime. Then difficult things could occur with those you love back in China.
And does that happen?
It is, unfortunately, a normal and ordinary phenomenon.
And is there a bigger picture we should think about in the United States of other efforts to monitor, to do surveillance, to send messages to Chinese nationals in the U.S., whether on college campuses or, you know, those who are working for companies in the U.S.? You know, how do we zoom out and understand what's going on?
I think we have to be careful about allowing ourselves to become too paranoid at our end as well. The most important thing to keep in mind is we're all Americans, and we have to make sure we don't allow concern over a problem like this to lead to problems between ethnic and racial groups.
I mean, you watch this space closely, Matt. Is it your sense that that's already happening, kind of regardless of these cases? I mean, we have this direct and indirect messaging about concerns about the Chinese government, legislation in some states seeking to, you know, ban Chinese nationals from buying property here in the United States. I mean, this, to many, this is already a thing.
It certainly is. And I think the cure is for us to have as much solid information about what the Chinese Party state is doing out in public, to have public debates about how to handle these problems. It's also important, I think, for U.S. law enforcement, quite frankly, to up their game, because they typically don't have enough people. In this case, they did. They had enough people who were linguists and who understand Chinese culture to do the investigation and to reach proper conclusions that could actually result in a successful prosecution. But of course, we've had other cases in the past where there's been a rush to prosecution, perhaps too quickly. And so I think education, not only for law enforcement, but for the general public about what the Chinese state is up to, is the most important step we can take.
Matthew Brazil is journalist and author of the book Chinese Communist Espionage, an Intelligence Primer, and he has a next book coming out next year on the topic. Matthew, thank you for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.